Welcome to our podcast,
Band BFFs,
the podcast where we make your music selection less complicated.
On today's episode, we're going to be discussing two pieces that you can do with a beginner band, possibly a sub-non-varsity or non-varsity group for your spring concert, or whatever, fall concert next year, whatever might work for you. We have been reached out to by many groups, like asking what are some of your favorite things to do for your spring concert. And these are some, like, a little bit more difficult on the scale, maybe like a 1.5 to do with your beginners. So today we're going to be discussing Mama Paquita, arranged by Michael Story, and The Dragon Lord, written by Randall Standridge. Cheers to starting the conversation.
Okay, so this Mama Paquita is...
It's precious.
It is absolutely adorable.
Shout out to my friend Brad Smith for giving me this idea many years ago because my kids love this piece.
Okay, now listen, this is new to me. This I had not heard of this before, but it is absolutely adorable. It is less than 2 minutes, about a minute and 45 seconds. Concert B flat, 4/4 flute throughout, no split trumpet or clarinet parts at all, easy low brass. Now it is, it's Brazilian, so it's got a lot of kind of Latin percussion in it. You need a decent number of percussionists to play this. I'd say 5 to 6,
at least.
You can add more. Like if you have some other fun percussion equipment stuff that you want to add to it to spice it up a little bit more, this Brazilian theme, you can do that. This is so adorable.
So this is a traditional Brazilian folk song, and I always start teaching this piece to the beginners by playing this cute little YouTube video. It reminds me of like little Einsteins, you know, and it's like Our Mary Had a Little Lamb, but for Brazil, it's Mama Paquita. And it's this cute little song that talks about Mama Paquita has papayas and bananas, and it actually gets a little dark in like the third verse where Mama Paquita can't afford to buy any more fruit. So like my beginners are always like, that poor mama. Like, it's fun. It's like just a cute little theme, you know, but it's adorable. So show the little video, get the kids excited. They walk around singing that dang song like the entire time we play it. It is catchy. But just like Mary Had a Little Lamb is catchy, you know, it's just this is their version. So it comes, starts off with everybody having like a little introduction. It is a little bit trickier with rhythms. So everybody in the melody has 1 and 3, 4, 1 and 3, 4. And the range is a little bit more tricky on this piece too. 1 and 3, 4, 1 and 2. Yeah, cha, cha, cha. It literally sounds just like that. Yeah. And it's, so it sounds real Brazilian. And then it starts off the whole piece with a flute feature. So you might want to program this piece on a year where your beginner flute class is rocking it. Or like if you have a lot of flutes in your concert band or your third band or your second band, and you are looking for a good piece to do at the beginning of the year where you can feature them and really get their like, you know, skills like to be elevated at the beginning of the year.
And their confidence built, right?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Confidence. Yeah. This is a great piece to program. So percussion has this little like fun groove behind them. There's little shakers going, maracas, the wiro, and then it's so
great
fun.
Wiro sound, Katie. That was excellent.
I know, really, right? I've been working on it. And then the lows literally do have a real easy part. 1, 3, 4, 1. And then the flutes have the melody. And they come in on the pickups to measure 5. This pickup part is what makes it kind of tricky because every time the different voices have the melody, they come in on the end of 3. So you have to teach them about breathing on 3.
That's right.
1, 2, and 4, and 1, and 2, and 4, and 1, and 2, and 4, and 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 1, and... So, like, breathing on 3 is a thing on this piece. And everybody at some point or another, besides the clarinets and the horns, gets to have the melody. So teaching them about that breathing on 3 is really critical and important.
And we've talked about that in a previous episode, but right, making sure that you're teaching your kids how to take those quick breaths. Uh-huh. And practicing them in your daily drill so that when they get to the music, it is really clear.
Yep.
This eighth note thing, I think, is really cute. And then it does a lot of just 1 and rest, and for, and one, and
yep.
So that, I mean, making sure that they're articulating that correctly.
Oh,
and
yeah,
lining
it's gotta
it.
Be really,
yeah.
really short. Yeah, it's pretty tricky.
Yeah.
And then the clarinets get what I call blowing in the wind part. So they're just going 1-3, 1-3. And I wrote in their part to do a one measure crescendo and a one measure decrescendo. So they're already learning those musical phrase shaping
yeah.
skills in beginner bands to just like take it up a notch a little bit. Then the flutes finish their melody 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 1. And then the lows have N2 and 3. And then the trumpets and the saxes come in with the melody with the flute N4 and. So
it's
tricky. Really tricky.
Yeah.
Or like aligning the rhythm where everybody understands I come in on the and of 1, but I come in on the and of 3, and not letting the tempo slow down or like letting their style get longer as they pass this part around.
Because they're going to wait to react to
right.
what they hear, right? And you have to teach them, no.
Don't
like,
react.
Like you do
yes.
it right
do
in
it.
Time.
Yes.
Exactly.
Luckily, the tuba and the low reed part is 1 and 2 and 3. They don't have an up entrance, but the bassoon, euphonium, trombones, they do have an up entrance, and then so do the melody people. So then the melody now is in flute, oboe, sax, and trumpet. They keep going, and now the horns have added in with the clarinets on the blowing in the wind part. And then the low brass
Mama
have
Petita.
Like a, it's so cute.
It
I
is
know. So it's just so fun. But like everybody has kind of the same thing. We're continuing to move along. And then there's a pickup in the trumpet and flute and oboe going into 21, and we have a new moment. 4, 1, and 3, 4, don't breathe here. 1, and 3, 4, 1. So teaching them about, again, phrasing. You're not going to breathe on the bar line. Instead, you have a rest in the next measure. That's where you get to take your breath. So that's something, again, that's a little bit tricky, but it's good to teach in beginner bands so that they're familiar with it in 7th and 8th grade. And then the horns have a dotted half note with alto, but the lows have a half note with 2 quarter notes. So just getting all these differing
yep.
rhythms, it can be a little bit tricky together, but nothing ridiculous.
What I love is that it's like, I think it is, the parts, the balance, the layering is not overly complicated. What makes it tricky is the rhythms. The
mm-hmm.
ranges are not overly
mm-hmm.
complicated.
Right.
Right. And then as we're finishing out this 4-bar phrase that we had at 21, the altos and horns get a cool little
one, two, three,
yeah.
A little chromaticism
yeah. part, which is kind of cool.
It is. It's fun. Then we get this moment where we have like a little bell tones part. Lows come in on beat 1, alto comes in on 2, clarinet
by
and
themselves.
Oboe come in on 3, and then flute and trumpet come in on 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, and 2, and the whole band has that together, and then percussion, ta-ta, 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 ta, and then the lows get to have the melody, and 4, and 1, and so then they get to have the important part. So literally, it's like it's passed around, and everybody has to learn how to play something that's a little bit beefier, a
yeah.
little bit more rhythmically difficult and challenging. And then the trumpets get to have a cool little
I love the trumpet
part
here. I think this is really cool. So in the upper woodwinds, they're just kind of like
harmonic. Blowing in the wind again.
Yeah, they're just providing harmonic foundation with some whole note support. But the trumpets are getting a cool little counter melody. Now, we've heard the melody Mama Paquita several times. And now the trumpets are da 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 2 and 3 off. 2 and 3. Yeah, it's a really,
mm-hmm.
it's cute.
Dotted quarter note rhythm, 1 and 3 in the trumpet part. Lows are about to have a dotted quarter note part too. So the rhythms are a little bit more challenging, but nothing that they probably shouldn't be exposed to before they go to 7th and 8th grade. Then we're crescendoing down on a little like mini scale on the lows. And then the lows are done with their little melody. And now we're back to the high people having the Mama Paquita rhythm. We've got the blowing in the wind again. It's literally just a repeat from before.
Yep.
And then we end the piece with the lows having the melody. N4 and 1 and. And then it goes back to flute, trumpet. N4 and 1 and. N3, 4, 1 and 2. And the whole band has that rhythm together.
Last 2 measure is unison rhythm.
Yep. Right. And just aligning that style. Again, there's not a lot of style written in, but just like There are some staccatos. There are some housetop accents. So just teaching the kids about those is really important. But this piece is just precious. And the students love it because it's cute and it's catchy. They're going to be singing it. You know, it gets stuck in their head. And in fact, they're always like cursing me for it getting stuck in their head.
Yeah, it's gotten stuck in my head.
So, all right. And then, so the next piece that could be considered for like a beginner band or possibly like a sub-non-varsity, non-varsity situation.
Or a beginner honors band if you do something like that. Yep. Like we, you know, we'll do that with our beginners where they earn their way into
harder.
Yeah,
mm-hmm,
exactly.
Yep. This one is called a 1.5 and it's part of a different, of a
Series,
thank you, that Mr. Standridge has done called Tales from the Darklands. So there's like Darkland March, mm-hmm, I think is one of them. And then there's another one and this is the Dragon Lord. This is part one. So that I think because it's for beginners or younger students. But this piece is really cool and typical Standridge. You got to have a lot of percussion.
So it's in the key of concert E flat. It's a little over 2 minutes long, about 2 minutes and 15 seconds. The clarinet part is not split, but it does have an optional clarinet part that doubles the horn, which is great. So if you don't have strong horns or if you have a ton of clarinets, you can split that. It does have split trumpet parts in typical Standridge fashion. Lots and lots of percussion. That's really,
like
really
a lot.
Cool. a lot. And a lot of effective percussion. So you definitely want to make sure you've got the percussion parts covered. And then the cool, like, background sound or whatever.
Yep. So the piece comes with a sound effect that's a dragon roar. So if you want to, you can even like hook up your sound system and have the dragon roar happen. I have never done it because I'm just so lazy and the kids always keep telling me to do it, but maybe this year I'll finally get on it. But we play this like every year. Like the kids would absolutely revolt if I didn't play Dragon Lord because this one's what they would call a banger for sure. And it starts off mysterious at the tempo is 72. And I'm just going to say this is probably my third year of playing it with my beginner band. And we try to typically rotate and do other pieces, but this is one that we really like with the kids. This is the first year I've done this, so I'm just telling you guys because this worked for me this year. This is a piece that's also on Make Music, so if you are a Make Music group, you could play this. But the reason I taught it this way was because of Make Music, because it doesn't go like slow at the beginning and then go slower when the tempo changes. It goes straight into cut time feel. So I taught my kids to learn it that way from the beginning this year, and it hasn't been an issue. So we kept our foot tap is the same the whole time. So we set it at 72. We practice counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, and we just practiced counting in the cut time, but keeping our foot tap the same the whole time.
Yeah.
And it's been really good because they got it. I was actually shocked at how quickly they understood that.
Yeah.
Kids were popping their hands up and saying, oh, so that's like eighth notes. And I was like, mm-hmm,
exactly.
That's right. Yeah. So that's just a little side note. So it does have this mysterious opening for about six measures. And then after that, it goes to be a little bit faster at the cut time section. So here at the very beginning, it starts off mysterious, as I mentioned, in the slower speed of 72. Timpani starts off the piece with 1, 2, and 3 lows, 1, and there's a little flute trill. And then the bells get this cool part, 3, 4, and 1. So it's very mysterious. And then the horns and the clarinets and the altos get to have the melody in measure 3. And it's just this like smooth piano, soft moment. It's very chromatic-y in this piece, which the kids think is really fun, makes it sound dark and mysterious. The lows are continuing with what they have. Then they kind of join us and we go 1, 2, 3, long tongue, flute and trumpet. They get a little DSC ray for one measure.
And the mallet percussion.
The bells are still going. Yep. And they go 1, 2, 3, 4. And then right away at 7, it's marked aggressive and it's 144. So you got to practice the students going 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. So they count 1, 2, 3, 4 in their brain, but their foot tap keeps going at 72. That way they're really understanding this cut time feel. So the full band has a whole note, and then the timpani and the snare comes in with one and two and three and four and then this is the banger part. Everybody goes bump, 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 dun, 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 except the melody, which is the dragon stomping. That's what I call it. So it's in like horn and clarinet, it's still and sax. One, three, one, three, one, three, one. So they're just doing that little part. Full band has staccato, staccato accent. One and two, da, three and da, four, one and da, two, da, snare da, drum. Da. Then a little trill and a forte piano. One and two and four, one. So it starts off just so exciting and fun, and the kids love it because, like, everybody gets to do cool things.
Yeah, lots and lots of energy in this. And just making sure, like, I love the idea of treating it like it's in cut time, right? I think that that's really, really cool. And making sure that their eighth note articulation matches. There's cool, the timpani gets, like, Katie was talking, when the winds are playing one and two and three and four and one and two and three and four and.
And there's an anvil part, you know, break drum part. So, I mean, it's just really fun. Like, the kids, like, love this piece. It's not hard, though. Like, the eighth notes are the same note. So, it's not like they're articulating quick and changing pitches.
Exactly.
It's G, 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 F sharp, F sharp, F sharp, F sharp in the flute part. But the smart kids are like, oh, I'm tonguing 16th notes. Because that's what they are doing when you're in cut time, you know. So, just kind of talking about that is pretty neat. And then when we get to 17, the sleigh bells come in with the tempo, one and two and three and four and then the mallet percussion has this cool part. So you've got to have a really good player on your mallets. One and two and three and four and one and two and then the low people go 3-4-1. And then that's where the dragon roar would happen if you wanted to use it. So it's like the dragon is like coming out of its cage.
So on the sleigh bells, and I know we've talked about this before, but this is fast. And it's eighth notes or 16th notes, and that is super hard to keep it nice and steady. So you might consider, if your sleigh bell player is having trouble doing that and doing it in time, turning the sleigh bells on their side and shaking them. That that motion is sometimes a little bit easier for young players. Or I know we've talked about before, a mounted flat set of sleigh bells, which I have used before, that you can play with a mallet or a stick that skill transfers really easily because they're used to doing that. But anyway, you might consider just turning the sleigh bell sideways if the kids are having trouble playing in time.
Cool. And then 21, the low people now get the dragon part.
One, three, one.
Yep. And then the uppers are either resting or just have one and two and one and two and. So they're just the background. Then we have these really cool effects that he writes in where you start piano and crescendo up to like mezzo forte or forte throughout the piece. One and two and three and four. And it comes back over and over and over throughout the piece. So it's just a fun effect for the kids to do. The melody ends up on the lows in measure 28. And then timpani and mallet are still going. Snare drum leads us in to 29. Now the trumpets have the melody. And then there's this really cute, cool, mysterious counter melody in the flute, oboe, clarinet, and saxophone part. So they're playing the 1-3-1, and flutes go 1-2-3-4-1.
Little chromatic-y
one, two,
sounding.
1-2-3-4-1. So it's like a little, it's a fun little part. But it is a little trickier because it's got some accidentals written in and things like that. Then the full group kind of ends with one and two, three and four, and then a forte piano, one, two, three, off. And then the lows get one and two and three and four. So that's a fun little part. Again, timpani gets to be kind of featured again. It's like a nice little phrase ending.
And he writes in, this happens a couple of times in here, he writes in these written releases, right, where it's a half note tied to an eighth note or a dotted half note tied to an eighth note. So teaching kids, because younger players will sometimes try to do the math in their... So I have to release when my foot is up. No, that's actually
on
a
four.
Written release. He's just telling you go all the way here.
Except that I'm glad you brought that up. That is tricky for kids because since this is in cut time, they actually are releasing on an up foot tap because we're in cut time. So they're going bum, 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 one, two, three, off. And that is a bit tricky.
Yeah.
We did have to go through and teach that a little bit because that... That's like kind of strange, you know, but it's been neat to get to teach like cut time concepts with beginners. But
well, and one of the things I like about it, like the piece will, it will, the energy will be different if the kids are thinking of it in cut time than it will if they are going 1, 2, 3, 4
Yeah, and their foot taps
like crazy, right? So, I mean, it really makes it feel better to approach it that way.
I totally agree with that, and it has so far. At 37, we kind of chill out a little bit. The lows get a piano part with just some like chords. The flute, clarinet, and oboe have the melody with a little wind chime effect behind them. Then two measures later, we get another one of those piano crescendos with a decrescendo. 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 So it's cool to teach the kids how to do those dynamics without slowing down their articulation as they kind of go through that.
Wind chime part, I want to say something about this real quick. The wind chime part goes on forever underneath this, and it's not written to be directional. So like up and then down. So I would just have them, we've talked about this before, I would just have them take their hands and stay on the bottom of the bars and just kind of make it sound more like wind chimes that would be hanging
magical
from your fret
sounds.
Point.
Yeah.
Yes, not getting a... Exactly. Yeah, right. So just kind of... twinkling the chimes from the bottom.
Yep. And then the trumpets come in with like a little, the same little 1 and 2, 3 and 4 part. The flutes, oboes, and clarinets keep going. And then we've got more of those little piano to forte moments going into 45. 45, now the trumpets get the melody, but they are alone on the melody. So this part's a little tougher to balance out because it's just them. Tambourine and ride cymbal go 1, 2, 3, 4 So they're keeping, like, Mr. Standards just goes back and forth with all these different, like, effects in the percussion, different colors, different sounds, which I think is super fun. So the trumpets get the melody. Everybody else is going to be a little bit behind them. Low people get a moment where they're kind of in response. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4 Lows, boom, boom, boom. And so that's kind of cool. They get a little moment.
And the upper woodwinds are still playing quarter notes, but theirs are marked staccato.
Yeah, and so they're definitely not important. They're like percussion.
Exactly. Yeah. So I was going to say, they need to be like that cymbal part, right? Yep. They just need to be just an effect in the background. Whereas the trumpets, when they have their quarter notes, it's full value quarter notes.
Right.
So they need to make sure they're playing through.
Yep. At 50, the full band has accented quarter notes, except for those higher people Laura was just talking about. 1, 2, 3, 4 forte piano, and then clarinet and sax and flute have 2, 3, 4, 1, 3 So it's another little like DSE Ray-esque type part. Then it's a little percussion break for two measures with the little dragon's roar in there if you want to use that effect. 55, now we're back to this, to the dragon theme with the trumpets having the dragon theme. Everybody else is doing the little counter melody again in the flute, oboe, clarinet, just like before. Then we have the full band kind of ending together, 1 and 2 and 1 and 2 and and then the DSE Ray part again, 4 Everybody's soft.
And that 1 and 2 and that is tough. The kids will want to add an extra beat.
Yeah,
one
they
and two
do.
And 3
Nope, no 3. Yeah.
Don't do it.
Yeah, and then everybody kind of builds up again. 1 and 2, 3 and 4 1 and 2, 3 and 4 yanda in the snare. Then percussion gets to go nutso for two measures. Bum, 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 bum.
4 yanda at that tempo.
At that tempo.
Digga, digga, da.
Yeah, it's
digga,
hard.
Digga, digga, da.
Yeah.
Yep.
Then the whole band has another 2, 3, 1, 3, 1 and it ends with the dragon's roar if you use it. So this piece is just so much fun. And the kids, every single time I'm like, let's play Dragon Lord today. Yes. You know, they all love this piece.
Well, and Katie talks a lot about, you know, music is always telling a story, right? And the more you can get kids to latch onto that, the more they're going to buy into the music. And I mean, my gosh, what a, like a dragon. Come on.
Yeah. It's always fun.
Yeah.
So this is another great piece to play for a spring concert or fall concert or all region band or, you know, whatever.
All of the above.
Yeah. Well, we hope you will consider playing Mama Paquita or Dragon Lord in the future. And thank you for joining us on this episode of
Band BFFs.